If you've ever heard of SPC, you almost instinctively think of control charts. It's a horizontal plotting of data, maybe some calculations, and then judging where that data falls versus some control limits. And that's the basic idea of control charts, and we'll talk much more about that in detail in this and in future lessons. But remember, it's also part of a larger system of looking at process capability. And the control charts are just one tool as we approach and use the notion of improving our processes in order to create capable manufacturing processes. Now, of course, it can be used in other areas, but we tend to focus on the manufacturing process. Now, control charts are just a visual plot, a way to look at data. And it uses a number of different conventions and elements to make it easy to interpret. And there's a set of rules that allows us to determine when something is odd or out of control, is a term that we commonly use. So it's a common technique. It can be done quickly and easily manually. There are software tools that allow us to quickly or automatically create the control charts. But in my opinion, it loses some of its value in that it's an active part of the process. So if the control chart that's automated can also shut down the line and collect data and do failure analysis as to why it went out of control, either good or bad, then I don't have too much trouble with it. But somewhere in there, we need a human, in my opinion, to help make decisions as to what looks odd or what was different or why is this occurring? Is it just a fluke, or is there some rationale or reason or causation behind it? So control charts can take on many, many different forms, and we'll talk about a handful of them. And it depends on what your circumstance and situation is, but it really is just a tool. It's a way of plotting data that allows us to see what's going on with the process as the process moves through time and continues to manufacture parts or components or whatever is coming out of that process. Now, I mentioned it, I know of already a couple of times, and it's because when I started in industry, I started initially as a shift supervisor, and then I moved into manufacturing engineering. And every now and then, one of the designers would come up and ask if they could run a prototype or run an experiment, and if I could help them get it through the factory in an expedited manner. And sometimes those experiments worked great. We had some wonderful breakthroughs in product development from that. And other times, they were just really a pain. They were very, very difficult to manufacture. Now, sometimes we worked on projects that tried to increase the capability or what we could manufacture, the types of materials we could process, for example. And other times, we were trying to minimize variability. But in general, when a designer gave us a plan, a document, a set of specifications that had dimensions and material properties and so on, it then was left to the manufacturing folks to figure out exactly how to make this in an ongoing way such that it always worked. Now, sometimes the design put us right on the edge of what was possible given our materials and equipment. Later in my career, I worked as a design for manufacturing engineer, and the folks in that role in the organization were generally not liked, which is probably too harsh of a term or phrase, because when we went to the design teams, they saw us as an impediment to getting a good design because we would advise them of what was possible to be manufactured in our facilities and what our equipment was capable of doing. And sometimes the designs called for things that we just weren't able to create or manufacture. On the other side is we go see the manufacturing folks and the operations team, and they didn't like our message because we were often representing the designer's intent, what they wanted to see happen. So we often played right on that edge of what was possible between the design and the manufacturing side, often looking for compromises or breakthroughs that allowed us to create unique and valuable products for our customers and not increase scrap or yield loss or cost of manufacturing too much. So it was an interesting way to learn about and get an insight at what goes on with the designers and what they were looking for. So at one point I even asked, you know, what do you want from this design? How am I, you know, what's the role here of manufacturing? And he said, well, here's the design. If you make it perfect every time and use perfect parts, you will always get a product that works flawlessly. And anything you do that degrades that will create customer failures, product scrap, yield loss, and increased costs. So the best you can do is do exactly what I put down in the specifications and drawings. Well, I knew from the short time I had been working in manufacturing that that wasn't always within our control. Now, keep in mind that variation is going to happen. There's really nothing you can really do about it. Now, some variation is okay, and too much variation, wherever that tipping point is, depending on your design, your process, and what is required in order to make something that works, then too much variation can create problems, either for you, or for your manufacturing process, for your customers, in or their operation of your products. So variation will happen. It's just that when it happens beyond what we would like it to be or expect it to be, that we generally then have problems. So SPC, in these control charts that we mentioned, is one way to look at that variability. And remember, statistics, the first part of this SPC term, is really the tools and language we use to talk about variability. And so SPC is a visual tool to allow us to monitor a process and to see if it's behaving consistently. That's what we mean by stability. So then it usually takes some work to bring a process, once you start measuring it, to help it become stable so that you get the vast majority of your data and the measurements you make on an ongoing process are as expected. They're within a nominal range that you calculate based on the data you collect, and it stays consistent within that range. And we call that a stable process. So then the next step, as I've mentioned a couple of times, is then the check capability. And we'll get to more details about capability in a future lesson. So in a previous lesson, I mentioned control charts, if they're real or not. It's probably just a pet peeve of mine, but I really got tired of one of the roles I had was to visit vendors and look at contract manufacturers that were manufacturing parts for us. And the scenario almost always was the same. We would arrive at the plant about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning. We would be greeted by the quality representative and maybe a few other senior managers from the organization. They would usher us into a conference room and shower us with wonderful PowerPoint slides that talked about all the wonderful things they did. And they almost always said that they did statistical process control. And it was as if it was required, which it really isn't anywhere that I know of. It is a good practice. So finally, we would get out into the factory itself. And if the first thing, and this happened so many times I've lost count, that we would walk into the manufacturing area, and there would almost always be a bulletin board right there, most often covered in glass. And they would stop and point to the control charts that would be neatly arranged, and they were obviously computer generated and printed and so on. And whether the data was real or not really didn't interest me. But they would point at the control charts and say, see, we're in control. Because there would be no points out of control. Now, that's the first clue not only that it's behind glass on a bulletin board, well away from whatever process it's measuring, but nothing was out of control. Now, if you have a perfectly running, stable process, you would expect about 0.3% of points to fall out of control, just in the normal variation of the process. And it's when it occurs more often than that that we have an out-of-control process. So even in a very stable process, we would expect some points to be out of control. Rare, but it would happen. And second is, it wasn't clear that the control chart was providing any valuable insight as the process was running. And that's what makes the control charts real, is that it's actually used by the people operating and managing the process. So if it's an assembly line, the control chart should be on the assembly line, providing immediate feedback, or as close to as immediate as you can muster. Short of that, it makes it very, very difficult to find out what caused an out-of-control event, whether a good event or a bad event. So if a control chart is real, it actually is used to operate the line. That's what I mean by real. And it's something that you should work towards achieving if you're using control charts. So let's take a look at the poster child charts of SPC next, the X bar and R charts.